Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
This was, and as you probably know, years in the making, right? There's sweat and there's tears, and I bet there's a little bit of blood around it as well. This is here now, the new Montana Heritage Center. I mean, Molly Kruckenberg will tell us, it goes back 20 years ago for the start of this. And oh my, what you guys have put together here, Montana, is well worth it. This is something I think everybody ought to be proud of. Everybody ought to pay a visit here as well. And heck, move to Helena and come daily, because the new Montana Heritage Center, it's wonderful to be here. We're going to do it live today. Little radio walkthrough of some of these, CMR Russell Gallery, the Homeland Gallery. Molly Kruckenberg is with us. We've got Amanda Trum with us. Aaron Genton is with us. Darby Bramble, Bramble, that's it, and Colton as well. So, stand by. We're going to be live from the Montana Heritage Center today on Voices of Montana. The center will open up here. It opens at 9 o'clock, right? So we'll see if we have some visitors. But that has been well received early on here. I'm so excited. I did mention who we have on here. Colton Tash, Communications and Public Information Officer, Darby Bramble, Amanda Trum, and Aaron Genton. Okay, and we're going to walk through as much as we can here and talk about these exhibits and talk about the history behind them and then talk about the ideas about how you as the public best receive this and best enjoy your history. We'll start that conversation with Director of the Montana Historical Society. It's Molly Kruckenberg. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Tom. So glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate that. You know, when this really got kicking several years ago, the timeline, I think, is important to kind of talk about, too, as you go back to 2005. But I've been so excited about getting here, watching the progress, and then finally doing a show from the Heritage Center here. So thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here, and we're so excited to be open to the public finally. It's been a 20-year journey to get us here to this point. We received our very first funding, some bonding authority for this building to do our master planning in 2005. And so we've been working on this project for quite a long time, actually for most of my career here.
Yeah.
But in 2019 is really when we got our real first funding from the state, ending up with about $47 million in state funding for the project. We broke ground in 2020 and then had an amazing capital campaign raising $60 million in private funds to make this truly a public-private partnership to construct the Montana Heritage Center. And, of course, opened just about a month ago and have had thousands of visitors through our doors. And it's so exciting to see people walking through and enjoying the exhibits, eating in our cafe, shopping in our gift shop. We're going to be welcoming students here pretty soon, which I'm sure Darby's going to be talking to you about.
A program, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just really excited to be at the conclusion, the exciting part of this project, and welcoming people through our doors.
What's been their reaction so far?
Oh, we've just had fabulous reactions from people coming in. I think some of my favorite of, I'm walking through the building and there's so many kids here enjoying all of our interactives, walking to the kids zone and the gallery spaces, but really even all of our exhibits have so many places to interact with the past. But I've seen people just, this is such a beautiful building, I just want to come spend time here.
Yeah.
So people sitting in our seating areas, having their meetings. I know we've got folks in our cafe this morning having meetings just because it's a beautiful place that truly represents Montana.
Boy, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate how you guys designed it that way as well. I mean, having grown up, born, raised here, you know, we have this Montana mentality about things. It's maybe not well defined. It's probably defined individually for everybody. But I think you guys nailed it. I think you guys kept that at least in the heart of this design.
It was completely in our minds with every decision that we made around this building. You know, Amanda and Aaron can talk to that quite a lot. They've been really daily involved in all of the activities of designing the building. But every decision we made, we asked ourselves, does this reflect Montana in some way, shape, or form? And making sure that we're paying attention to all of Montana. Eastern Montana, the High Line, you know, southwestern, southeastern Montana, all of the places of Montana, and reflecting them in the building here.
I appreciate that because, again, being here all my life and lived in several places, I love every inch of this state, you know. And so it's glad, I'm glad to see it reflected in this design. There's no ticket takers at the door.
Yeah, you know, one of the decisions we made a couple of years ago was to be free to the public. So there's no admission fee. We really want every Montanan to feel free to come and explore the Montana Heritage Center in the time that they have available. If they've got an hour, great, come in. If you've got all day, if you've got 2 days, you might need 2 days, actually, to explore everything that's here. But if you only have an hour, come stop by. There's no admission fee. We want this building to be open, to be friendly to the public, to be a community space where people do come and just, they want to have a meeting here because it's such a beautiful space, or they just want to sit and enjoy, or maybe they want to enjoy time on our terrace, or they're just shopping. But we don't want any barriers to people learning about our history and our heritage and our culture here in Montana.
I'm going to have you talk about Amanda and Darby and Colton and Aaron here in just a bit, but let's talk about a guy named Bruce. Bruce Wittenberg, who was the previous director of this, and you know, a lot of energy behind it. I went and did, you know, do a little Google search and Heritage Center, and it took me to a newsletter like in 2012, and Bruce was writing, hey, look at this, our design is kind of coming together. That was 15 years ago and 20 years in this, but there are a lot of people to thank here.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for bringing that up. There are so many people that have had a part of it. I mean, all of our current staff now have put hours and hours and life and passion,
the blood, sweat, and tears
yeah. Exactly, into making this building happen. But there have been a lot of people that have moved on, retired, found different jobs, left for other reasons, that put a lot of time and effort into this building. Bruce Wittenberg, of course, previous director, led the effort to pass the bill in 2019 that got us that initial state funding for the project that really helped kick us off our fundraising, and, of course, led our initial citing process and studies, and led that initial design of the building. And of course, since then, it's been 5 years of construction. He retired about 5 years ago. And so it's been a lot of folks have been carrying that torch forward and moving it forward. I think even expanding the vision for what we were going to build 5 years ago has changed to what we have built today. And I think in a way that's really positive for Montana.
Well, I know you have another appointment, and I appreciate your time here today, too. Let's brag about some of the people that we're going to be talking to today. Amanda Trump. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi.
How are you?
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Amanda is the curator of collections, art and artifacts care, kind of essentially. Brag about your staff.
Yeah, absolutely. We have just an amazing staff here at the Historical Society. But Amanda, and we'll talk about Aaron and Darby here, but Amanda led the efforts to develop the content in our exhibits, particularly in the Homeland Gallery. This is a lot of work. This is a 16,000 square foot exhibit. There's something like 900 signs with content on them in that gallery space. And Amanda led the effort to make sure that we were telling that story in a way that reflects our artifacts, reflects the collections that we have here, and reflects Montana history. Really tough job because, you know, it's a lot of space, but we have a lot of artifacts and we have a lot of stories in Montana, and there's no way to tell them all, even though we tried really hard to tell as many as we could. But so Amanda did an amazing job kind of leading our team in that content development in the exhibits.
Amanda, your initial thoughts here. Well, we're going to walk down some of these galleries. We'll have to switch the phone to do it. But some of your initial thoughts about telling the story, right? There are different ways that people will receive a story, but you can maybe only tell it in one or two ways. You know, you got to have a focus to it. How did you kind of decide that language and that verbiage?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, like Molly said, it was a big effort. First of all, I want to say that, you know, we had a lot of help. So, you know, we spent a lot of time kind of going back and forth with different consultants and experts in trying to determine, you know, what the highlights really should be in the gallery. And that's in terms of stories and, you know, interpretation themes, but also in the artifacts that we picked. I mean, you know, when people walk through the gallery, gallery, they'll see that it's huge. It's a massive gallery. But like Molly said, we still, even with that huge space, can only tell certain stories. We don't have enough space to tell, of course, all of the stories that we could, you know, related to Montana and share all of our artifacts at once. And so we were very thoughtful in thinking through, you know, how our collection could support what we're talking about in the galleries. And we definitely wanted to highlight specific people and use their stories to kind of help tell broader Montana stories.
Nice. Before we run out of time, let's get Aaron Jetton, the curator of exhibits. Good morning, Aaron. Say hello.
Good morning.
We're going to try to take Aaron down this Homeland exhibit here, and there's a lot of things on display there. In fact, we're going to go down the mine shaft as much as if we can, all right?
It'll be fun.
I'm a little bit scared. talk about Aaron.
Yeah, so like Amanda provided the leadership for the content in the gallery, Aaron provided our leadership for all of the exhibit construction and how the artifacts are chosen and placed in the gallery. So complimentary, Aaron and Amanda worked really closely to make this gallery what it was. So lots of detailed drawings. Does this fit in this case? And how does this artifact work with that artifact? And how do those complement the content that's going in there? Beautiful cases. And I always feel a little bit historical. Museum nerdish when I say how beautiful the cases are, but they highlight the artifacts so well. So that was Aaron's job, was to make sure that those artifacts are highlighted and the components in the exhibit, those interactives, whether they're physical or media interactives, really complement and come together to tell the story that Amanda helped create.
I appreciate that. Darby Bramble as well, Museum Education Officer. Good morning, Darby.
Good morning to you, and hi, Montana.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show today. Appreciate that. We've got some things to share from your aspect as well about some scholarships and some opportunities, I believe.
Yes, we're very excited to bring all Montanans here, but we're really looking forward to our school kids, which will be traveling from across the state to visit the Heritage Center.
Talk about how important that is.
So important. So, like I said, we have no admission fee. We really want Montanans to come, enjoy this space, learn about Montana history. Darby's leading an incredible effort to provide tours for the public into these spaces, but particularly what we're excited about is our field trip program, which is going to kick off in a couple of days here. We're providing grants to schools across the state with the goal of getting every K-12 student in Montana to come to visit the Heritage Center and the state capitol, as well as cultural and heritage destinations along their route at least once during their school career. So we want every kid in Montana to learn about Montana history and to learn about Montana civics.
Colton Tash is also with us, Communications Public Information Officer. Good morning, Colton. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, I'm doing good.
Yeah, Colton met me at the door. He's been an excellent help here this morning. Appreciate that. Talk about, now, Colton is one of those who came alongside like maybe 6-8 months ago or thereabouts and probably walked into something that was pretty dang busy at the time.
Yeah. Colton joined us at 7 months ago or so now and really has done a great job getting the word out about the Heritage Center. We were able over the last couple of years to add almost 24 new positions here at the Historical Society so that we can have these operations here at the Heritage Center. Colton was one of those hires. We brought him on board, and he's just done such an amazing job sharing the stories of what we're doing here at the Heritage Center and getting the news out to people across Montana. You'll find out he's a great storyteller.
Oh, great.
Too.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out to Eve Byron as well, who for a lot of years was the communications person here. Yeah. And we've been covering the story, you know, the funding and then the groundbreaking and all that. So, just wanted to say, I'm sure she's listening too, because she was pushing for this. Let's do this, Tom.
Good. Eve is another one of those with Bruce and so many others that really helped us get to this point that we're open.
What do you recommend for the public now, outside of spending 2 days here? when they come in here, I mean, what does Molly Kruckenberg as director say? Look, you've got to see this.
Oh, that's such
pick
a hard
your favorite
question.
Child. Just
I
pick
can't.
Your favorite child.
I can't. Yeah. I would say plan your day to have at least a full day here with your time. That's what I would recommend. The Homeland Gallery is amazing with the interactives and media, but so is the Russell Gallery. There's something so special about seeing Russell's paints and brushes right there for you to look at next to the paintings that he created with them. That's so amazing. So my favorite part of the whole building is the artifacts. The items, our photographs, our paintings, the materials that we're caring for the state of Montana that now are on exhibit for folks to see. So that would be, I guess, my recommendation. Pay attention to the artifacts. Look at the things, the real things that are telling our stories.
When you guys are working, your heads are down, deadlines coming, and then it's here, there's still a lot of work going on. When do you take a breath? When do you realize, wow, it's here now?
You know, that was some really excellent advice I had from several people right before we opened was enjoy it.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath, look around, and enjoy it. You know, we're in a little bit of figuring out how to live in the building right now, being reopened again, really, for the first time in about five years.
Yeah.
And so we'll have our grand opening celebrations next June, the 25th to the 28th. Big community-wide party here. We hope people will come and join us for that. In the meantime, we have maybe a little space for some deep breaths here and there,
but
still lots going on. And we have so many exciting programs that we're doing. So even if we're taking a deep breath on the construction of the building, there's so many programs that we're now rolling out so that people can come and enjoy and learn.
I gotta get you out of here. Colton can tell us more as we walk through this place as well. Thank you so much. Congratulations on it.
All right. Thank you, Tom, and thanks again for being here. We really appreciate it.
It's a great thing for Montana, Molly.
It truly is.
Live again here from the Montana Heritage Center on Voices of Montana today. Just a great group of people. It's Aaron and Darby and Amanda and Colton. I gave those last names out earlier, so that's good. Thank you guys again for being here. Let's start off with a little bit of we're in the central area, okay? Colton, why don't you tell me how important this is to people coming into the building?
Yeah, the central area was designed to be the welcome point for everyone. And so when you walk in here, it's this big open space. One of the key features that you see when you walk into is this river pattern through the floor, which was, I think Amanda or Aaron could maybe speak to why that was originally incorporated, but it goes outside as well and kind of leads into this nature trail that is also outside the building. And so the experience with the Montana Heritage Center actually kind of starts outside with our Habitats Trail. And it's a walk from the plains of eastern Montana kind of through the mountains of western Montana and encompasses all the different landscapes. And then when you come to the end of the trail, you come into the Central Commons and you follow that river pattern into the Central Commons, and it kind of leads you through it. And so, again, it's this big open space, but you have, in addition to the river pattern below, up above, you have these beautiful panorama exhibits of different images in Montana. And then it's kind of the jumping off point for the rest of the museum. So you have the Homeland Gallery, and then the Legacy Hallway, Digital Hallway, leading into the Russell Gallery and the Changing Gallery. Our gift shop is also located right here centrally in this beautiful space. And then we just opened this week
Norm's Cafe.
Norm's Cafe.
Norm!
Yes.
Is Norm going to come out of there?
No. He's back in Kansas, I believe. Norm's Cafe, which is operated by local Helena favorite, the Dive Bakery.
Oh.
And so they offer all kinds of great coffee and scones and caramel rolls, all kind of great goodies.
Let me ask, okay, so these pictures up here, these were taken by, I understand, local photographers, Amanda. How would you describe them? I mean, they're lit behind, they're very, one's, of course, is that the Missouri River? I presume that's the White Cliffs of the Missouri River.
Yes, and so they're panels that are dropping down from the ceiling, and like you said, they're lit up, so they're just, you know, this beautiful representation of all different parts of Montana. So we wanted to choose scenes and areas from all across Montana. They were taken at different times of year, so we're really trying to represent you know, the landscape in lots of different ways.
Talk about the design from, as Colton had said, from outside to inside.
Yeah, so we are thinking that people will walk along the path outside, and like you had said, the river part of it kind of leads you into the building, and it also leads you into the Homeland Gallery. And so I can tell you that Major Robinson, who was a consultant that we had on the project, he designed the river pattern, and it was based off of an aerial view of a river system near Flathead Lake.
Cool. I've got like 5 minutes here before this break, and then we have time after that. Aaron, let's start walking to the homeland, can we? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Tell me about this. This is
well, and I just to build on something Amanda just said,
yeah.
You know, with the river and the landscapes and all that, we really wanted to not let people forget about the land. Once you've come inside a building, especially one like an exhibit gallery without windows, we wanted to remind everybody how important the land is to telling Montana's story. And so that's part of the reason why we have those continual reminders throughout. Once you've walked into a gallery space, and we've just walked into the entrance to our Homeland Gallery, we want to remind people that this is just very simply a story about people and the land and how they've interacted with each other over the generations.
I so appreciate that, because you don't separate the people from the land, you know.
You can't. They've interacted with each other. They've yeah. driven the story. They've pushed and pulled each other. You know, I try to say, you know, we've got a story of how people are trying to learn to live with each other, still doing that today, but also with the land as well. And in some instances, we've been great neighbors, and sometimes we haven't. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, part of the push and pull story that we're trying to tell throughout the homeland. And so as we've walked into the entry point here, you're introduced kind of to the main characters of the story. And specifically reminded that we're all in this together, to use a common phrase, by being presented with a couple of display cases showing shoes worn by different people that called Montana home across generations. And they're united in this circular pattern, which is meant to evoke an intertribal dance in which everybody is asked to participate and welcome to participate. And we've kind of blurred the lines between, you know, history in a lot of ways to sort of invite everybody that's walking in today to sort of look down at their own feet, imagine themselves in that dance, and realize that they are part of this story as well, from the first people that called what we now call Montana home all the way up until today. It's an ongoing story that just hasn't quite stopped. And hopefully, you know, there's nothing more personal than somebody's shoes. So yeah. Hopefully people are compelled to see themselves in that story.
Colton? Yeah, I just wanted to say Darby has actually a great story to share about these shoes.
Yeah, if you walk with me around this circular enclosure of, I see some beautiful cowboy boots with spurs on them, moccasins.
Those are real cowboy boots and spurs.
I know. I see Myrna Loy's green pumps. You know, imagine her, the movie star from Raidersburg, Montana, walking around in those slippers. But the specific shoes I want to point out are right here. They are army fatigues. They are sand colored. These are combat boots. And they were worn by the first woman from Montana to lead officers and men and women in Afghanistan.
Wow.
And on New Year's Day, our first visitor was Candace Griffith. She came in through the doors and said, "I heard you have my boots." And I walked her here, and she saw these objects that were carried from Afghanistan back to Montana. And she was moved to see her place here. And I'll tell you, as people come to this Homeland Gallery, whether they see objects related to their family or their someone else, they're going to find something that connects them to Montana and this place.
That's a great story. It really is. We have just begun, actually, our little tour here into the Montana Homeland Gallery. This land never changes, always whole, always the way we want it to be. We always come back to check our senses to remember dreams. Victor Charlo from the Bitterroot Tribe, huh? 2008. Real Treat Today, live from the Montana Heritage Center, the building that's been planned since for 20 years here. Three major galleries showcasing our history, our art, and our rotating exhibits. We talked about Norm's Cafe already, but the gift shop and this community and event space here, and of course the library and archives. So much goes into this. We're with members here of the staff here for the Montana Historical Society, and we're now a little bit deeper into this Montana Homeland Gallery, which is one of the major galleries here as well, and it's fascinating. There's a little bit of everything in here. Amanda Trum is with us as well, curator of
collections.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Talk about. So right now, what I'm looking at, I'm probably about maybe 50 feet into this Homeland Gallery, and I'm standing over on this kind of a stairwell or walkway. What is this? Is a buffalo hide?
It is, yeah. So we are overlooking one of the sections of the gallery that discusses pre-contact in Montana and the indigenous people who lived here at that time. So we are looking at an 1860s buffalo hide teepee that is kind of spread out on a large platform. What's interesting about it is that it's made of 8 to 12 buffalo hides, but it's also very light. And so it also happens to be on the smaller side as teepees go. And so what we've done here is displayed the original. And then we have a replica that was made of it. And it's something that you can walk into as well. So you can see the original and then walk into the teepee that's set up. And when you walk into the lodge there, you can hear indigenous community members talk about the importance of the lodge or the teepee and what it means in their lives.
Tell us more about engaging this, because we were speaking with Aaron, and he had said that one of the things that people recognize and notice is that, you know, our Native American culture is a part of the museum, not a separate section of it, so to speak.
Absolutely.
We folded it all into our lives as the land, as you say, would demand.
Yes, and so first of all, I'd like to say that we worked with what we're calling the Tribal Stakeholders Group, which is composed of 15 members of indigenous community members who represent sovereign nations throughout Montana. And so we worked really closely with them throughout the entire project for 6 years now in order to make sure that we are interpreting their history properly and, of course, incorporating it throughout the entire gallery as their history is Montana's history.
Cool. Talk about, you know, what went into that. What was, you know, behind all of that, all that collaboration?
Sure. Well, we talked about interpretive plans, and so we talked about the different stories that we wanted to tell, and they were careful in letting us know what was appropriate to talk about and maybe, you know, what wasn't a good idea for the public to know. And so we met with them regularly through Zoom calls and also in person to talk about whether, for example, it was okay to display certain artifacts and to talk about certain people. And, you know, one of the things that they helped us do is to make sure that we're using the right language in talking about their history and their stories.
Yeah. Speaking of language, I'm going to have Aaron talk about this. There is our Indigenous Language Journeys room over here, the Fight for Survival. What went into that?
The idea behind that was that language is a very important part of Indigenous life and culture. And we sort of use that as a lens to sort of talk about movement of peoples across the North American continent, how they came to Montana, how the languages that each unique nation speaks is a part of their identity, and yet how part of that story is that it has become a lot less common, and the memory of that is not as strong as it once was. And so it is sort of has a narrative that describes that using some great visuals and this animated map as a sort of engaging storytelling feature. But it ends up with language immersion programs and those efforts to sort of bring that back among the indigenous nations.
What do people see or hear when they walk in there?
when they walk in, they're going to see a nice theater style room with a projected image of a map, basically showing the indigenous nation names and their languages.
Oh, yeah.
And how those
sort of... I can
see
it from here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, moved and migrated across the continent and ended up being very particular to the location of Montana.
Darby, I'm going to ask you this question because as a museum education officer, this is probably a delight to be able to teach about.
Absolutely. When people walk into this space, their eyes get wide. They're hearing ambient sounds that reflect the environment. They're hearing stories from first person perspective. But what's more is, you know, I'm looking across the gallery at an elk ivory dress, and the silhouette is incredibly feminine. It could go down any modern runway.
Yep.
We see fringe hanging from the arms and a V-shaped pattern, a bird pattern with elk ivories decorating the front. Now, this is an object that comes from 1830. But I was walking through the gallery with Senator Weber from Browning, Montana, and her husband, George. And her husband looked at the little label, and he said, "This belonged to my great-great-great aunt."
Oh, really?
And so even though we see these objects that feel like they're behind glass, we have living connections to these objects as well. And so those are those pieces that are so exciting to ignite people's connection to their past and then help them identify where they fit in Montana today.
And some of those pieces were behind doors until this new center came about. And that's what I think is so exciting. Hey, we're going to switch now to phone because, Aaron, I'm going to have you take me to the mine shaft, all right? These microphones probably won't work, so I'll give Cody a chance to switch over to phone.
And, yeah, go ahead. You lead, Aaron. We're walking deeper into this homeland gallery. Let's see. Gold Mines of Idaho. Okay, Gold, Glory, and Grief.
Steamboat.
Oh, I see. This is the steamboat.
Gold Rush throughout Montana.
Gotcha.
Towns for mining camps, the settled actual towns. We're walking through an area that we describe as conflict on the plains as settlers continued to come into Montana and the conflict that resulted with indigenous nations as a result. We've walked into an area that highlights the open range cattle era and the cowboys that came with that, the importance of logging and the importance of mining in the state. And that's where we have the setting for our mine shaft, which we have a lot of sort of decorative elements in the room, particularly a giant structure that's meant to evoke a Butte head frame.
It does.
Basically.
It certainly does.
Yeah. And so the structure underneath that holds what we call our mine shaft. And it was a way that we were able to tell the story of Butte miners through their own words, through historic footage of them actually working in a mine that we had in our archival collection. And because of a great donation from Dennis Washington, we were able to kick up some of these immersive experiences into something I think that's pretty unique.
Cool.
Let's take a look
real quick. Again, we'll probably run out of time to get this whole mine shaft experience, but here's the mine shaft entrance. And enter the mine. Please wait here. Okay. So pull rope to start your ship. So what we have is a little, what do we have here?
It's like an elevator. It's meant to evoke a mine shaft elevator that the miners would step into as they descended to work their shift during the day. So as we pull the rope to start, we're going to be told about the men that we're going to meet in this experience. They're real miners who worked in Butte from 1925 to 1955. We had oral histories in our archival collection. We had historic footage from Butte mines in the 1920s that were put into this experience. And we're going to
feel like I'm going down.
Stand in here. Yeah, you want to stand here and feel it. One of the things that's great about this experience is it does allow us to connect people with primary sources. So the voices, the images, and it's animated in a way to make you feel like you're going underground and witnessing these guys working.
It's an amazing vicarious experience. I really feel what I'm looking at is this mine or you know, a screen that's showing all I see is rocks going down here. And I feel like I'm heading down into a mine. There's text up here, but I couldn't really say that. I hated working the mine. These are some of the transcripts. Yeah.
These are the oral histories of people talking about their experience as we're going down.
It's pretty cool. I'm going to take a break. I got to get to the bottom here, though. We're going to run out of time. As like Molly said, I need 2 days. I need 2 shows or more to do this. So here we are at the bottom.
We've stopped at the first level here, and we're starting to see some of the original footage projecting on the screen here. It's slowly going to disappear and become colorized into this sort of animated mineshaft setting. We see a guy shoveling rock into a wheelbarrow. We're hearing somebody talk about how old he was when he was working, which was 16 or 17 years old. And then slowly, with the footage becoming colorized, we're now starting to see what appears to be somebody that looks just like us working in a mine.
Let's take a break. We'll come on back. We got to talk about the Charlie Russell Gallery. This is open. This is free to the public. Okay. Colton, quickly, what are the hours?
Oh, man. Well, our hours are a little unique. We are open 7 days a week, year round, except for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And we are open, I think it's 9 to 5 most days, except for Thursday, which is 9 to 6:30.
All right, cool. Before we get into the gallery here, Amanda, Darby, tell me about this grant program and the kids that will come through it.
You bet. Tomorrow we have 130 kids from Shelby Middle School, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. They're going to be riding the big yellow limousines down to Helena. They'll arrive. We're going to give them a tour of the Charlie Russell Gallery that we're standing outside of, the Homeland Gallery, and the Capitol. They'll also get a classroom activity and get to enjoy lunch. This opportunity is supported by a generous grant from Montana Blue Cross Blue Shield. They gave us $50,000 to be able to help offset travel costs for students and teachers, public, private, homeschool co-ops. We're getting applications coming in on the daily, and our calendar is filling up with schools wanting to have this Heritage Center experience. The grant program is not just this year. In fact, we have an endowment that is at about $3.5 million right now, hoping to get it to $10 million. And that's that piece that will make Molly's vision and the governor's vision and bring every school kid in Montana here to Helena, the Heritage Center, to connect with their past and give them a foundation to envision their future.
Cool. Reach out, you guys. Reach out to the Montana Heritage Center. They'll make things work for you. All right. Here we are outside the Charles M. Russell Gallery, BNSF Railway. Thank you for that. Featuring the McKay Collection, which is pretty cool. We've got this bronze statue. There's the man himself, right? And then what I'm looking at here, Amanda, or Aaron, however, who wants this, there's a picture. This is a Charlie Russell painting on a screen. I just saw it come to life.
It did, yeah. So we have this huge screen of rotating images of different oil paintings that Charlie Russell did. And we worked with a media group to help animate the paintings. And so that's what you see when you first walk in. So we're really trying to, you know, make sure that people are kind of immersed in Charlie's world.
This gallery, obviously, a lot of people know about Charles Russell outside of Montana, so to speak. So when you guys put this gallery together, I suppose there was that sense that this is a Montana man, but he's a world man as well.
Yeah, a lot of people knew his work. That's mostly because of his wife, Nancy. Charlie himself was not that concerned about selling his pieces. He really just wanted to paint for his friends. But Nancy was the businesswoman in the family. And so she really pushed him to kind of expand and, you know, created a market for him to sell his works.
Is this anybody's baby here? I mean, Molly wouldn't say which was her favorite baby. Is this anybody's favorite baby?
Well, you know, I have to say, speaking of people who recently worked here, we had Jennifer Bottomley O'Looney and Kirby Lambert, who were our experts in Charlie Russell's works, and they recently retired. And so this is definitely their baby. It's kind of their brainchild and their words and stories behind his works.
I really love seeing the colors that Charlie used in his painting. come to life animated on the screen here. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's really fun. I think people will really like it. We've heard great feedback so far, and I think you're right. That's the whole point. The colors are beautiful, and it really does bring his work to life.
Thank you guys for being here. Colton and Darby, Aaron and Amanda, appreciate that. Molly as well. That's going to do it for this edition, but you guys come on down here. It's free. It's open. I think you guys will appreciate it. Make a plan for it and save some time for it.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.